1.
This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, the 7th episode of TMNT Classic, The Incredible Shrinking Turtles. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 7. To the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast. I'm King Cowabunga. With me is my co-host.
Pizza Tossin' Gub. Yeah.
This is the 7th episode. Putting it out there. I wanted to do more last week, but we were both so busy, I found.
It's been rough. It's been a rough couple days.
I've been pretty overwhelmed myself, actually. So I'm actually pretty happy we're even getting to record this one today. So you people, be grateful.
Yeah.
You're free.
You cretins.
For free. You, I'm the king, right? You peasants, be grateful. The king has spoken. I'm going to tell you about a show you saw 30 years ago.
Or maybe watched along with us. Maybe. Probably not.
I don't know about that.
I wonder, there's got to be someone who's like...
One of my buddies I was just talking to, I think he told me he sat down and watched 3 seasons in one sitting.
How do you do that? And that's just like the first two. I guess the first two. The third one's 40. Jeez. What?
He said he had enough. I don't think he got through the third season.
Oh, yeah. When
he told me he watched it, I said, how could you have enough? He goes, no, I did it in one sitting. Like, I didn't realize. I can watch this all day. No, you can't watch this all day.
Yeah. You can't watch this all day. This is, yeah.
Let's talk about this. So, episode 7, The Incredible Shrinking Turtles, is a fun one.
Okay, so this episode is the first episode written by someone that hasn't written an episode before.
Oh, you know what? I didn't know that, and it makes sense.
Well, I'm looking at the, because I'm just like what looking wondering, because this episode's weird as shit. And why, I was wondering why it's weird, and it's because this guy, Larry Parr, this is the first episode this person has written.
Yes.
So
this episode is...
That makes sense.
It's so wacky.
It's very wacky.
It's very wacky. Okay, so let's start it off. So the turtles are practicing martial arts in the park. And then, you know, it's important for them to practice because...
But not even in the park, in the jungle.
No, I thought it was a park.
Well, specifically, Leo says we have to practice our jungle fighting techniques.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're in a jungle in Central Park, I guess.
I got the impression they were just in Central Park.
Yeah, they are just in Central Park. I don't know what this jungle bullshit is.
Pizza tossing gum. I can see you sitting there eating popcorn. What's this jungle bullshit? Anyway. So I think the whole jungle thing was just that he was wearing a jungle hat.
Yeah, he's wearing that weird Bushman. What do you call it? The pith helmet.
Yeah, but with leaves on it.
Yeah.
So he can hide in the jungle or whatever. Anyway, so then, you know, quote unquote, Shredder appears.
Which is so clearly not Shredder.
It's so clearly a turtle in Shredder's clothes.
Yes.
And all the turtles attack him. And turns out it's Mikey having fun with them.
But then, Mikey, like... That's kind of a dick move, though.
It is. Well, I mean, he didn't get killed. That would've
he could have been murdered.
He ain't a party dude no more. He's a party dead.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty funny episode. That would be funny in any form of fiction. And it would be so surprising. Imagine you watching a show and a main character is killed because they played a joke.
Imagine season 2, episode, what is this, 3,
Yeah,
Mikey's dead forever. Like, there's no more Mikey after this episode. This is episode two. From episode three on, there's no more Mikey. Mikey's just dead.
And everybody thinks he's gonna come back, but he doesn't.
well, like, imagine any, like, there's always scenes in the show where, like, Splinter has them tied up or captured or someone captured. Imagine if we just murder them.
Well, as a kid, I figured that out pretty fast. No, they're not in real danger. Because you know the show is going to be on again tomorrow.
Well, the show is called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Like, it's not going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Shredder, you know?
It's not going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja April.
Ninja April. It's not a show. Not a show. Although there is a IDW offshoot comic called Casey and April.
Which looks like the most garbage thing ever to me.
You know, I have a few issues of it because it was good? On my... Oh, you go, but I haven't read it. I don't know. It was on my poll. No, it was. I had Turtles on my poll, and then the guys at the store pulled that too. And I said, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll read it later. Because all their little miniseries usually connect into the main story. I've just been reading the main story. I didn't even read that miniseries. I didn't care.
I'm looking for sample pages, but I can't find any.
So here's the point.
Anyway,
the fact that I paid for it, it's sitting in my long box, and I haven't opened it, shows you that it would not be a good idea for April to run the show. You know, if all the turtles died because of some, you know, rat trap machine or whatever, show wouldn't last very long. So we always know they're never truly in danger. Mikey has his little gag. They beat him up, kind of, and then, you know, he's like, oh, it's me, it's Mikey. And then suddenly, one of them goes, what's that? And I was going... they should have just said, what's that? And someone went, a plot device.
Yeah, yeah. This whole episode is just like plot device next to plot device next to plot
move
device.
Move it to plot.
Gotta move it along.
And you know what? To be fair, when you have that much space, I have a lot of, you know, sympathy for this. Because I find when I'm always writing things, I never have space for anything. You know this. You work with me. Oh, man. I gotta get this out quick. I gotta move the story along.
That's how Larry Parr do, man. That's how Larry Parr rolls.
He's a little more... See, I would have cut all the stupid jungle jokes and Shredder stuff to at least build up to that better. That's what I would have did. But anyway.
Larry Parr has only written children's television.
Well, he did write that one, you know, horrible novel about his drunken adventure.
Oh, he's directed four things. I don't know, A Soldier's Tale? And Fracture. What the hell is Fracture? That sounds like a movie I saw.
It's something totally different. That's why I was like writing a book that's like some depressing autobiography.
About his drug use and like...
About his drug abuse, yeah. Like, something like that. Something you would never expect. And then I write Ninja Turtles. So anyway, the spaceship crashes and there's an alien inside and they save him.
Well, here's the thing. The alien like lands in the lake that's in Central Park, right?
That's right.
And he's in a bubble.
Yeah.
And they swim down to get him. The first thing they do is they open the bubble. Which, like, the alien could have just fucking drowned right there.
Right. I mean, what if he needs that bubble?
What if he needs the bubble to live? You don't know.
But to be fair, they are teenagers. You know what I mean? Yeah. Come on. That's a natural instinct. He's in the bubble. Get him out of the bubble!
So they bring him to shore. Yep. And the alien tells him about... No. But they bring him to shore, and then Shredder's, like, in the bushes, like, over. He's like, what are they doing? He's like, Shredder lives in Central Park now.
Is he in the bushes already?
Yeah, he's in the bushes. I wrote it down.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah, they bring him to shore, and then Shredder is watching them. He's curious.
Because then the alien tells him about the crystals.
That's right, the crystals. The other plot device.
Well, like, Shredder is clearly, like, homeless at this point.
Yeah, of course, he's homeless. That's his Shredder.
He's living in Central Park. He's begging for change, and
he's going to people's doors. Need any karate? No.
Oh man.
So Shredder is watching them, and then this guy gives them these crystals.
Wait, let's give him the crystal. Oh, he gives them like the crystal to find the other crystal.
Crystal tracker. Yeah, to find the crystal.
The eyes, they're called the Eyes of Zarnath.
Which is so random.
I think the Eyes of Zarnath, I wrote Zarnath, that's what it kept sounding like. Maybe Eyes of Zarnath.
I don't know, whatever, it's something weird.
There's no way there is. There's a Wikipedia on it. There's a Turtlepedia on it. The Eye of Sarnath. S-A-R-N-A-T-H.
Well, anyway, they use that to locate these other crystals, which are an important weapon or something. That's kind of suddenly what the plot is about.
Yeah.
Because they need to do this because the alien told them to get it, which is so weird.
Yeah, so they just decide to get it.
Like, yeah, okay, let's go along with it. You know, for, I forget the reason, but they just do. And then Shredder now, you know, he's coming up with a plan, right?
Whoa, Shredder calls Krang.
He's got to call Krang.
Shredder checks in with Krang.
He's got to check in. Where have you been?
Shredder checks in with Krang like 5 times this episode.
Well, it's just like, you know how you got to check in with your woman when you're out with the guys? Oh, baby, just one more beer.
Just a beer.
I'll be home in 10 minutes later.
I'll be home in 10 more minutes. Don't worry.
10 more minutes later, exactly. You have to explain yourself. That's what Shredder's doing. He's explaining himself to Krang. Krang is the overbearing housewife.
Yeah.
With all the power.
I think there's a whole discussion between them that, like, Krang won't help Shredder anymore unless Shredder brings him unless Shredder kills the turtles as a show of, like, that he can.
Well, to be fair, I mean, Shredder took. Let's be real. Season 1 of the Turtles, Shredder just got all this stuff from Krang, and he couldn't get the job done. He was wasting all these resources on, you know, making mutant turtles and doing stupid crap
for
no reason.
Building Mousers and shit.
Yeah. Like, Shredder has clearly mismanaged the Krang fortune. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, he tells Krang, and Krang wants him to kill the turtles. And then Baxter Stockman is hanging out on this rooftop with him as they're doing this on the top of a building, which is weird.
Yeah.
And what does he tell Baxter Stockman to do? I forgot exactly.
He's eating ice cream?
Yes, Baxter's eating ice cream.
And he tells him I can't remember what he tells him. I gotta watch the episode again. I just watched it. How did I not remember this?
That's because so much stuff happened. So
yeah,
anyway,
a lot of shit.
Baxter Stockman somehow has to be involved in this plot to steal this thing.
Because he's the only one. He's the only Twitter has left that can do shit for him.
That's all he's got, right?
All he's got.
What's great is Baxter Stockman just calls Shredder master. Based on what? Because he's going to beat you up? I mean, you could go to the cops. This weird servitude Shredder.
Yeah.
Based on nothing but intimidation.
You could argue Baxter's just crazy because he's been in the insane asylum. You could just make that argument. He's crazy, so whatever. Fuck it. You know.
Okay, you know what? That's a pretty valid point, actually.
But still.
As turtles are in now, turtles are in the turtle van trying to track these things down.
You think just a little pyramid gem that they'd never use it for, they can figure out how to track. It's weird. Like this.
Again, you've got to move the show along, right?
Move the show. You go. Here's the thing. Go to the thing. Okay, let's do the thing. That's what it should be called. Every character should have been like, here's the thing to do the next thing. Okay, now let's do the next thing. Okay, what do we have now? Oh, here's a new thing that does this thing. Let's do that thing. And then this thing does that thing. And it's like, the end.
The thing is not a good episode.
That's the episode it should be called.
So, what I love, though, is that now Shredder encounters them by the pier.
Yeah, the tugboats.
They find a crystal, right? That's what happens. They find it.
They find it in the garbage, in the big...
Yes, and then Shredder appears, and he kicks the crap out of them.
Here's the thing. When they find the crystal, Shredder swings down to catch the crystal. It's like, yoink, right out of their hands.
Yeah.
But, like, he, like, shoots forward in a weird angle and then shoots to the side right afterwards on the end of a rope. It doesn't make physically any sense.
He's Shredder. He can do it.
Yeah. But then Shredder also proceeds to beat the shit out of the turtles in, like, the wackiest fight in the whole show so far.
It is all silly Tom and Jerry-esque. Yeah.
But it's also exactly like a fight the turtles would have when they won.
Right.
Like, it's like, just they switch sides.
It's the same kind of victory,
like
right?
He's jokey. He's like using like props and like catching.
Yeah, yeah. There's conveniently a rope with a circle in it that Mikey steps on. It's just for some reason there's a rope there with a circle for Mikey to put his foot in that will trap Mikey while Mikey's trying to talk crap to Shredder.
And then Shredder cuts him down afterward when he's like he's dangling and caught. He's done.
just as dirt, as straight dirt. He's touching the ground. But my favorite part is when Raphael challenges Shredder, and Shredder goes, "A simple task." And he just kind of doesn't even take him seriously, and then he chops this big piece of wood in half, and he crushes Raphael.
Well then he also like does a like Leo comes up with Leo like, "I got this." He like flips. Like, kicks both his swords out of his hand. The swords ricochet off, cut a rope that's holding a giant net that covers him. And then Shredder says, "Net results, 4 turtles trapped."
Net results, I didn't catch them.
It's like, who are you? You're not this character. You were never this character.
Well, come on, you know, he's... Dude, Shredder is hungry, all right? He's starving. This man, I mean, both... it's like, you know, like in Rocky 3 where Mr. T's training in the dirty basement?
Yeah.
That's what Shredder is doing right now. He's living in Central Park. He's got nothing, right? He's desperate. He'll take anything he can get. And then suddenly, you know, we got... Here are these turtles with all these things. And he just kicks the crap. You know how many homeless people he's probably beat up in the past month in that park?
Change.
Bam, bam, bam. You know, messing up tourists. He's taking on New York bums. That's well above your average bum.
Yeah, the guy's wearing like 5 jackets. And
let me put it this way. I've been around a few cities myself. And I've seen all the types of bums out there.
The detritus of the nation.
What?
The detritus of the nation.
What does that mean?
Detritus is garbage. It's the best name for homeless people. You could say detritus.
That's
an SAT word, guys.
I've seen what North America has to offer in bums. And let me tell you, those New York City bums do not fuck around. So that's the type of bum Shredder's been fighting. So these turtles, they're not prepared for this kind of Shredder. And that, I mean, yeah, but that move he does to Leo, where he like rolls... And kicks the swords out of his hand.
Yeah.
That is the craziest thing.
He does like a double kick, 1 foot to each hand, kicks them both in 2 separate directions. They ricochet off walls individually, come back together, and cut the rope. It's like, Shredder is clearly the best at Kung Fu that's ever existed ever.
Yeah, Shredder is just, he's just killing it. This is the Shredder that lives up to his reputation, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Because he's supposed to be so good. This is him living up to what he's supposed to be good at. So he beats the turtles, he takes their crystal, and then he shrinks them, which yeah. was so random. Like, first off, did he know it was going to do that? I don't think so.
Well, the title is The Incredible Shrinking Turtles. So
no, but I'm saying...
No, I'm kidding.
See the title. You didn't see the title. What am I watching? Like, what just happened?
Yeah, could he just... He steals the gem, and the gem just like, okay, time to shrink these guys. Like, it's not even...
He just
it's totally... It's all plot device.
He just knows how it works. And now they're mini, and he's going to get them. And they have
little helium voices.
That's right. They have little helium voices. They shrink, and he chases after them. And, you know, this is like right out of Tom and Jerry now, but with Ninja Turtles. And then he gets away. They get away.
They get away by almost getting hit by a garbage truck.
That's right.
They hide behind garbage, and like, he can't see them.
But hey, you know, that's how rats escape you and I. Okay.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
And cockroaches. I actually really hated when I was younger when there is a mosquito in the room or some type of bug and it just hides in the shadow and it doesn't move. That instinct, that hiding instinct drives me crazy.
Well, no, the worst thing ever is when I was in my old apartment, my first apartment, in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah, that was a nice place.
It was okay.
Wait. I'm thinking of a different place. Oh, I'm thinking of the place you lived in for a while. Are you talking about the place where you had a party where I ended up meeting
your girlfriend? Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's right. I remember.
I had roaches like crazy.
Yeah.
And the big fat water bug roaches, like the big fat ones, right?
NYC roaches.
Right. So you'd see one, you'd be like, fuck it, try to kill it. And then you wouldn't kill it. And then it's like, okay, my whole night.
You're going to try to get it.
It's now about killing this guy because I can't go to bed.
Yep.
Because that motherfucker is in here somewhere. And your whole night, like that. Ugh.
And it's going to hide. It'll hide behind the garbage.
It'll come out. Like, it'll just, like, mosey out. Like, okay, it's safe. And it'll freak you the fuck out. Like, one was by my keyboard once, and I was like, I'm here.
It's looking at you. Hey, how do I get online?
Which, look at there, buddy.
Hey Roach, what are you looking at? No, this isn't safe for work. Roach, I don't want you browsing that on my computer.
It's NSFR, not safe for Roach.
No, the Roach will get you into some hot water with your woman. You come home, there's like all this porn plaster all over your screen. It wasn't me! It was the roach! He's dirty roach. And that's the episode. That's all! The end!
So then the turtles are shrunk, right? And they run away. How do they get away? Like our garbage truck almost runs them over.
They get caught in like a sewer thing. It's like a street sweeper.
No, but that's afterwards. After they run, after they get caught by after they get they run away from the shredder, right?
Yeah, then they're
on like a street corner. They fall over the curb and get splashed by gutter water, which is
because the street sweeper is coming, and then they go into the gutter water and they go into the sewer.
Well, they don't also call it a street sweeper; they call it a watering truck.
Whatever they call it, I don't know what
which
they call
it. Which I wrote down because I've never heard it called a watering truck ever.
That's what this awesome writer called it.
Yeah, that's what Larry Parr.
It's a truck that waters the street.
Larry Parr has also written. Side note, the next couple episodes. So it's going
to
be.
Okay, good to know.
It's going to be a shit show coming up.
Good to know. So then Shredder. So the turtles end up in the sewer, and then the sewer brings them to Splinter conveniently. Like when they get stuck in the water in the sewer, they just basically float over to Splinter, who's, you know, hanging out in the house.
Yeah.
And then Splinter calls April on his turtle intercom, and then cuts to April hanging out in this meeting. I'm going to put that word in quotes. Because it's just the news reporter chief guy, and then the other guy that you thought was gay.
Vernon.
And then I
don't remember the boss's name at all. Ross, it's like Ross or something.
Something. Okay. And then there's April. And I don't know if you noticed this. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but is April's shirt more low cut in this episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it like for that one scene, isn't it?
For that one scene, you can see a little cleavage action going on with April. Yeah. I'm going, whoa, what is this? You know? So who decided that maybe I didn't catch it in the other episodes, but... And you look at what April is wearing. Think about it. She's walking around in what? A tight raincoat thing? Like yellow...
A yellow banana suit.
And it's low cut, you know?
It's like what Bruce Lee wears in that one movie.
But he doesn't have a big V in the front.
He doesn't have a big-ass V in the front. He doesn't have pockets all over it either.
No pockets. So anyway... The turtles call her. They have some.
No, Shredder calls her. Oh, no, the Splinter. Splinter calls her.
Splinter doesn't call her.
Yes. Splinter calls her.
Yes, Splinter. I'm sorry. I've been mixed up. So Splinter calls her, and she answers the call on her boss. There's this weird moment where Splinter is talking to her, and he's going, calling April. And the boss is going, oh, April, what's going on? Like, and I'm going, this is kind of funny because when you live in a time pre-cell phones, that could possibly be a reaction from somebody because nobody had little walkie-talkies in their pocket.
Right. Well, it's also like that scene, you think the joke is going to be the boss like talking to Splinter, like thinking April is talking to her, but it's really Splinter talking to...
That's right. That's the way
But that's not, that's not the way the scene plays out. The scene plays out with her just like, bro, sorry, you don't listen to this.
Yeah, he just goes, she just talks on her walkie-talkie, and she leaves.
She just walks the fuck out, which is like, what? Who the fuck are you?
And then the boss comments on it, and he goes, hey, I didn't say you could do that. She said, you did say we have to make split-second decisions. She just bounces.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand. To me, I'm going, as the writer, why? You could just have her eating pizza or something.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need to be in a meeting. The meeting served no purpose in the plot. There's no other scene later where a news crew comes and.
there is a news report later, but it's not. It has nothing to do with that. It's another team or something. It has nothing to do with that guy.
So Splinter asks April for help, and then they're gonna help,
After that, Shredder calls Krang again. baby, 10 more minutes, baby. 10 minutes.
And he's pulling the move. It was Baxter. I wanted to come home earlier. It was Baxter.
Baxter ordered another pitcher. I can't. There's another pitcher. I can't go yet.
Oh, we've all done it.
We just started a game of darts. We just started a game of darts, baby. Wait, 10 more minutes.
You know Baxter. You know he's got no more. He's got nobody to hang out with lately. You know. For him.
I gotta hang out with him. He wants to meet a girl. I gotta hang out with him. I got a wingman.
Giving all the young men out here tips. This is what you tell your lady when you get in trouble. Why don't you come home at 3? Well, you know, I bought another picture, you know? The way it is.
So he checks in again. He checks in again with Krang.
Yep.
And and he tells him, I shrunk the turtles. I won. They're dead. And Krang's like, I don't believe you.
Yeah, Krang doesn't believe it.
Well, of course, he's been lying about the pictures and the art games all night.
Krang knows Shredder's tricks. Call bullshit on Shredder. I forget how this works its way.
It's very bizarre. Like the
suddenly Shredder just decides after that to shrink New York City.
Yeah, well, Splinter and April are driving around together looking for the turtles, but with no goal. They're looking for something, but they're never exactly clear on what they're doing because the turtles are at home. So they're driving around just looking for something.
Looking for Shredder. They're gonna jump
him. Just as a plot device, and then the little TV in the dashboard turns on, and some reporter says, "Shredder, someone is shrinking all the buildings in New York City."
Yep.
And he's shrinking the Empire State Building specifically at this point.
And there's a part where the Empire State Building is shrinking, and there's this one guy trying to get out as it's shrinking.
Back our character of the week.
Annoyed.
The fat Italian guy who's...
I was going to call him a Guido, but I thought...
He's a fucking Guido. That dude is fucking Guido'd out. He had a gold chain, too? Fuck, man.
Man, we're going to get the fucking Yankees game. I'm shrinking over here. Oh, take that, New Yorkers. Take that, Dagos.
Yeah. Also, real talk, there's no one that Italian that has ever worked in the Empire State Building.
I don't know what kind of people work in the Empire
State Building. It's just office space. There's no one that Italian.
You're saying Vinny the Wop doesn't work in the Empire State Building?
That guy should have been where the garbage tugboats were.
That's right.
That's where that guy was.
Hey! That's offensive. How dare you point something out like that, even though it's true? It's not okay.
But he also has like that super heavy accent too.
Yeah, 'cause he's a longshoreman.
Yeah, like he does it, and he might be visiting.
No, he's not visiting. Oh, let me tell you something real quick. To anybody who doesn't know, as somebody who grew up in New York City in Brooklyn, then I've left now. Let me tell you, there's no Guidos anywhere else in the country, all right? They're all in New York. Okay.
Also, as someone who has also lived in New York City their entire life, no one from New York City ever really visits the Empire State Building.
No!
The only people there are people not from New York City.
Not from New York City, exactly.
The only time someone from New York City has visited the Empire State Building is when someone from out of state comes in to see them, and then they go up there.
Makes them go. That's right. I remember once I got annoyed. I was walking by the Empire State Building.
It always makes me angry.
When they offer you...
Yeah, like, fuck, look at me. Look at me, motherfucker.
I almost wanted to say to the guy, do I fucking look like a tourist?
Like, I got my headphones on, like, loud as fuck, because I don't want to talk to anyone.
I'm wearing black.
I'm walking with a fucking purpose. I'm weaving through these like, fucking people. Like, you can tell I'm not...
Yeah, when you're on a mission, that's a good New York City, you know, obvious New Yorker look. When you're on a mission to get where you're going, and you don't give a crap about anybody but your destination, that's somebody who's from New York. I always want to say to the guy, did you see me looking up? Did you see me at any point look up at the buildings? Okay?
Yeah, that's how you tell. When you're no longer amazed at how tall buildings are.
You don't care how tall a building is. You gotta get to work, all right?
Ugh.
I'll tell you the funniest thing I thought about all that is in New York City, everybody's always in this huge rush, right?
Which
is true. But for what purpose? I gotta get home. I gotta get to work. Why? Because work is so awesome?
Well, they get home, depends on your job is.
Well, most people's jobs are not that great. And then the first thing they do when they get home, I gotta get home. They go on Facebook. It's like, what are you doing? It's so awesome that you're in such a rush.
Yeah.
But anyway, so... They shrink all the buildings. You got, you know, Vinny the Wop gets stuck in the doors. You love that.
His name is not Vinny. His name is Giuseppe.
Giuseppe the Wop. Benito the Wop.
Benito.
Vincenzo Dago. I said Dago at work yesterday. One of my coworkers, he started laughing. He goes, I never hear people say that word. I said, because you don't have any here.
You don't really. Like, they're in New York. they're kind of in Boston and they're kind of in Philly. Outside of that, you
that's
know,
it.
That's it. You don't really have them. You don't got them.
It's me. It's me.
And then you.
I'm the whole Dingle problem.
You don't really have them to the extent that we have them.
No, it's pretty funny actually, and it's you know what's funny too. You know, my fiance is half Italian. She has Italian last name. People think it's like adorable. Whenever people see her last name, they feel the need to point it out. Like, ooh, that's very Italian. They want to like spell it out in their head because like, oh, my last name's that. How do you spell that? I'm like, this is not. And she was saying, I don't get this. I'm like, because it's a novelty to these people, all right?
To these people.
That guy's last name is Smith. Okay.
Cooper. That guy's just like the whitest people you know. Cooper.
Mr. Smith. You know, when your name is Mr. Smith and you meet somebody with a last name like Vincenzo Venticico. Whoa. That's interesting. Anyway, so tangents. Anyway, I'm not cutting it out though. I don't care.
No. Whoa. So after this, after the Empire State Building shrinks, it cuts to Shredder, who has a table full of buildings.
That's right. And this is going to impress Crane.
Yeah.
I don't understand this.
But what I wondered immediately after seeing that was when the Empire State Building does shrink, do the cops are like, fuck, it shrunk, and they walk away, and then Shredder's like, I'll just take this and go. like, wouldn't you be like, fuck, the Empire State Building shrunk. We should stay here. We should keep this somewhere where like it won't, like, you know, where someone won't steal it.
It's important. It's NYC, man. The moment it shrank, it was stopping somebody else from being mugged.
The moment
it's too much going on.
The moment it shrank, you couldn't listen to Z100 anymore.
Z100.
That's a New York City joke.
What about KTU?
KTU is not in the Empire State Building.
It's not.
Z100 is.
Z100.
From the top of the Empire State Building. You know what I'm talking about.
I was so dead on.
By the way, crazy side note. The people who edit like audio for radio have to be like, they have to listen to the most annoying like noises for a whole day. And oh my god, I always think about that job. It's like it's gotta be so annoying to hear like, okay, what sound effect are you? And like all these, like you have the soundboard of all these fucking like the most annoying noises on the planet. And you have this button that just like speeds up. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
You know, I always thought the worst job in the world has got to be a morning DJ.
Oh yeah, a morning zoo crew.
Yeah. I remember when the most Brooklyn Dago thing I've ever done in my life. I used to work construction with my dad. I'd be in the work truck. And everybody's got to listen to Z100 in the morning. And I'm going, fuck this guy. Fuck him. Fuck this morning. I don't want to hear this asshole.
You didn't like Elvis Duran and the Z Morning Zoo?
Elvis Duran. It's not that I didn't like him. It's just I'm going, I want to listen to a song. Okay, it's already bad enough I have to be up right now at 5 o'clock in the morning in a truck with a bunch of like workers to go
with some Ninja Turtles digging through your garbage looking for a gem in the back.
And then in the background, there's Ninja Turtles, you know, stealing gems out of the garbage. And then I gotta listen to this jerk off. Be like, all right, wonderful morning over here. Yeah, so welcome to New York, best city in the fucking world. And yeah, what's going on this morning? And then there'll be some stupid sound effect. Morning, moment of the day. It's like, yeah, some jerk off got a ticket. Like that. Some stupid anecdote about some schmuck. And I'm going, I at some point in my life, something went wrong. That was the moment.
That was it.
What? Why am I here? What did I do? Why am I here? What went wrong? What turn did I take wrong to be in this moment?
Well, anyway.
And
that's the show.
That's the show, so.
No. So then it cuts back to the turtles back at the sewer hideout, right?
Yeah.
And they're all eating one giant slice of pizza.
That's right.
And then like water flows into the.
No, that happened earlier. Oh, no, you're right. No, don't listen to me. I'm wrong. You're right.
Water flows into their into their sewer hideout, and it's like, it's normally a little trickle, but since they're small, it's a giant wave that crashes them over, and they float on soap.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
And then they end up in the water.
No, before, yeah, they end up in the water floating on the soap, and then a sewer snake attacks them.
Yes.
The fuck is a sewer snake?
It's a snake from the sewer. And then after that, Baxter Stockman, they land in the water.
No. There's before this.
Stop being so chronological! Just
wait up, because after this, Shredder checks in again. Baby, 10 more minutes.
Baby, Baxter's moving.
I got these shrunken buildings. Baby.
Yeah, he's trying to give a little more credibility to his story, you know? I'm about to win the darts tournament. The dude's in the background. Go, 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 go. I'm not making
I'll send you, I'll text you a picture of the score.
I'm not lying.
I'm not lying. The game went into overtime, baby.
The game went into OT. It's not my fault.
It's double OT. This is triple OT right now.
Quadruple OT. So he shows Krang all these buildings, and Krang's not impressed.
No.
He doesn't care. No. He doesn't care. And I'm thinking to myself, at what point did Krang tell you to shrink buildings?
Krang doesn't see past, like, you shrunk buildings. Great. Good job. It's like, I shrunk buildings, Krang. Like, imagine what else I could do. Like, I could shrink everybody, and I would be the biggest person on the planet.
No, Krang's going, what do we need shrunken buildings for?
Turtles!
Get the turtles! Alright, he's gotta get the fucking turtles. And then it cuts back to...
No. Then you
tell the story!
Baxter builds the turtle tracking machine.
Yes.
Walks in for all screen. He's like, I built this turtle tracking machine. Let's just find the turtles. And Shredder's like, okay, go find the turtles. And he finds them. The next scene, he just fucking finds them.
Well, they're in the ocean.
They're in the ocean getting attacked by a killer goldfish.
And then he finds them and he catches them. And then this is actually one of my favorite scenes. So after that, he puts them in a little jar.
Yeah.
And brings them.
When he catches them, Shredder calls Krang again.
Again. This is my favorite part, though. So now he's like, all right, look, see? Like, I'm not fucking with you. I got the turtles right here. Like,
I know what you're about to say. It's the best fucking scene in the whole episode.
No, you say it then.
So he puts them in a jar, right?
We're thinking of the same scene. Go ahead.
The jar has holes in it so they can breathe. Shredder then decides he's going to smash them with a crowbar.
Crowbar, what is that? It's so dirty.
It's like the most ridiculous thing.
Suddenly Shredder turns into some street.
It might as well have been like a big plank of wood with a nail through it. Or like a bat full of nails.
It's something somebody would hit you in Final Fight with. It's something you use playing Double Dragon. You know, it's like one of those items.
Oh.
And he's wielding the crowbar in his hand. Like, I'm gonna smash these turtles. You know, just kinda...
It's the best. It's the fucking best. It's like the guy who wrote this can only write the wackiest fucking things, and it's like, he's like, I'm gonna try and write something serious. He's like, okay, he crashes them. What did he smash them with? Okay.
Crowbar.
I guess it's the crowbar. That's the only thing that smashes things, right?
Crowbar is the only thing you can use to smash turtles in a little glass. Yeah. You know what makes it really funny, actually, the crowbar? It's overkill.
Yeah,
that's why it's... It's way too big.
Well, it's also, I love that he put them in a jar and the jar has holes in it. Like, he could just put them in a jar without holes and they will die.
No, he wants to.
Yeah, he clearly wants to smash them. But it's like when you catch lightning bugs, you're like, I gotta poke holes so they can breathe, right?
No, because maybe Krang doesn't want him to kill him. He doesn't know. But what's funny about that, though, the crowbar, I mean, have you ever lifted a crowbar?
Yeah.
They're not light.
No, they're heavy.
They're heavy, so he's wielding it like it's no big deal. He's gonna hit the turtles with it, and you know, part of me, I think the only thing that makes the most sense to crowbar, actually, when you think about it, is he's been living in Central Park, right?
Yeah, that's something he can find.
You know, he's hit somebody with that crowbar.
It should have been a tire iron. It would have been better.
A retirement.
They know he's real. He also like, where are they?
They're in Baxter Stockman's new lab, whatever that is. Or like in fact, I don't know. I don't know where they are.
Yeah, where I didn't know where they. I couldn't figure out where they were.
And then I don't know. Like I know I must have missed this because so much stuff happens in this episode. But now, so Krang is gonna watch as Shredder hits these turtles with a crowbar.
Yeah.
And somehow Splinter appears. Like
it was Splinter and April drive the turtle van through a wall, through a big door, a big wooden door.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he pops out through a spring, and the roof opens, and he springs out in a fucking catapult.
Do you know why I think he springs out? You tell me if you think this is a reason. My logic immediately was they don't want to storyboard him getting out of the car. It's easier.
Well, you also never see the car again in that scene.
Exactly. It's easier to solve
that problem. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do it anymore. You just have the car come in from the top, and then he just shoots out. That way, you don't have to draw the scene of moving the camera to show him getting out of the car. That's the reason
I'm also 100% sure. Like the production does, like the production just sort of doesn't care that much about this. I think they just forget. Let's make him shoot out the roof because it looks like a toy and it'll sell a toy.
Maybe you're right.
I don't think they care that much about, like, oh, the camera's got to do this because, you know, that like, we can't break the 180 rule. They don't give a shit. That's not what, like, the production. the production of this is not that important. Like, we got to tell the story. No, we have to sell this toy.
We're going to sell the toy. And then now Splinter is fighting Shredder. And the crowbar, he kicks it out of his hand and it flies into Krang's little portable, you know, screen. And you see how it explodes into a million pieces? It basically, it disintegrates once.
Yeah.
It just blows. It's almost like when you watch, you'll see movies where a little ball will explode and it's filled with pixie dust.
Yeah.
That's basically what happens in this thing when the crowbar hits it.
But then it's also like when they're fighting, Splinter says to Shredder, "Your old sensei has come back to teach you a lesson." But Splinter was never Shredder's sensei, right?
Yeah, I don't remember him training Splinter. I mean, training Shredder.
But he said
they were in the same school together. But I don't remember him training Shredder.
I'm looking at the crowbar scene again because it's the funniest thing on the planet. I can't get enough of this.
So anyway, Splinter saves them. And as he's fighting Shredder, there's one part that really made me laugh. Where Shredder is just there. And Splinter just kicks him in the stomach?
He kicked him right square in the fucking chest. I wrote it down. I was scrolling through to look for it.
Because
it's the best because he's just standing there.
He just kicks him. And he doesn't even move. He just hits him. And he puts his leg back to where it originally came from. He's like, ha-ha. Like, just like, I fucking hit you. And I don't even have the dignity to follow up with another hit. I have to taunt you. It just stands here. It's almost like imagining a fist fight where somebody just pops the dude in the face and then he's just like, ha-ha, I punched you in the face. Like, it doesn't move his body at all.
No. It's almost like that game you play as, like, kids. Like, how hard can you hit me in the chest?
Yeah.
He literally just stands there and takes it. Like, the turtles roll behind the machine. Just kicks it right in the chest. You have to scrub to, what is it? It's 1836 around.
I'm seeing it, yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
The best kick ever. Bam! Bam!
It's like dirt. Like dirt.
The best part is Shredder just holding his chest. He's like, ah!
Oh,
dude! I fucking hurt!
He goes to punch, and Splinter just easily dodges away. And then, you know, the turtles, April frees them from their little container, and then she uses the crystal to make them big again.
They also land on a machine, like, Splinter and Shredder land on a machine that has a conveyor belt that takes them, they just land on this machine that's like, it's like a fucking Disney cartoon, just, here's the thing that smashes, so things go through here and get smashed in this machine.
Yep.
And Shredder goes, you're gonna get, it's a cheese wrapping machine, right?
Yeah.
He says, like, how fitting that a rat gets caught in a cheese wrapping machine.
You know what's funny, too, is to watch when the glass explodes that they're inside of. So they never get out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
It blows up, and they just are squeezing against the rim of it. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
They're growing, and, like, they're obviously this thing is way too stretchy.
Yeah, the glass bottle is stretchy as fuck.
Yeah, and then it explodes, and then now they have to, of course, escape, and because they got their – Shredder got his ass kicked – because now the turtles are back, and he gets away with the gem, though, right?
Yeah, but how did he get the gem? Because April uses the gem to bring the turtles back to regular size. But it's aiming it at them because...
Well, because the thing explodes. The machine explodes.
Yeah.
Because Donatello's bow, after they get full size, his bow flies out.
Yeah, but also when the turtles are in the thing, in like the little jar, and April saves them...
Yeah.
Donatello goes, why don't you use the gem to bring us back to size? He doesn't know it's going to work. He has no fucking idea. This is like fucking alien magic. Who knows?
Move the plot.
But like, I'm watching it now. Like, the machine, like, they get out of the
yeah, the crystal's like, on the floor for some
reason. The crystal's just on the fucking floor. Like,
after April just used it.
Yeah, that's weird.
It is bizarre.
And they just walk. And they just walk away down a tunnel that, like, Baxter holds the door open.
Yeah, and that's it. So he gets away with it.
It's fucking. It's fucking weird. This is the worst episode yet.
It was fun. I mean, it's funny, but it's bad. You know.
They also decide to chase after Shredder, and Shredder goes no, which is like you could. You could chase after him. Like, he just literally just went down the drain.
Splinter just kicked him in the chest, you know? He doesn't care. He got his little chest kick in.
Like, fuck that dude. he's like, wait, don't follow him. Did you see me just nail him in the chest?
He just took it.
That was pretty sweet, right?
Right? You saw how I have my hands to my side?
Bro, it's pretty sweet, right?
and then it's now they're in the sewer. They get pizza. And it's mini pizzas.
It's mini pizzas.
And then Splinter is like, ho, 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 ho. Like, just laughing at that. He thinks it's funny. And there's some stupid joke as a result of those pizzas. I don't remember like, which.
You still have more to learn and more to grow or something?
Yeah, you will grow. This is your crappy pizzas.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got these pizzas, by the way.
I was all ready to write down, like, oh, Mikey ordered some crazy-ass pizzas. Let me keep track of these crazy-ass pizzas. I thought that was going to be the joke. Like, Mikey ordered shitty pizza that no one wants to eat. But no.
No. And they eat the little pizzas anyway, though. And then, you know, Splinter gets his laugh, and that's it. And the episode ends.
That was a weird episode.
Yeah, well, the next one's probably going to be weird, too.
What's the next one?
That is a good question.
It's called It Came From Beneath the Sewers. This is also a Larry Parr episode. this is another Eye of Sarnoth episode. Oh, the Eye of Sarnoth is the next couple episodes. It's like a little
arc. Oh, okay. Well, that at least is connected then. Larry Parr, the genius.
He only write two episodes? He might have only written two episodes. I have.
You wrote an episode of Heathcliff. Come on.
You have his IMDb open?
What?
Do you have his IMDb open?
Of course I do.
How many episodes of Ninja Turtles are on IMDb?
A lot.
Really?
You
only wrote two episodes!
No, I thought you asked me how many episodes of the Turtles are on IMDb. A lot.
How many episodes did Larry Parr write? He wrote two episodes of Ninja Turtles.
That's it. They fired him after that.
He's gone. Like, Larry Parr. Larry Parr.
He's been wanting to write that Crystal story his whole life. He's pitched that story to everybody. And then he finally got his big break in Turtles. Like, hey guys, let me put the crystal in here.
Well, he wrote and directed this movie called The Soldier's Tale, it looks like.
It's about a guy who finds a crystal and he gets shook. Same
plot. A British soldier falls in love with a French woman wanted by the resistance for crimes against her country.
And because she has a crystal, it turns.
She has. Her name is Sarnoth. Huh.
And she turned Napoleon into a miniature size, and the French Revolution. French people are angry. there's a joke like that with the giant spider in Wild Wild West.
Oh yeah.
Like, I forgot the gag, but whoever put that stupid thing in the movie, it was supposed to be in another movie.
Yeah, it was. So, Kevin Smith was one of the writers on that movie, I think. But then it was like, then at, like, I think he was taken away from, like, it was taken away from him or something. But the guy who directed that, or the lead writer, really wanted to write a Superman movie featuring a giant spider.
Yes, that's right.
That's a wild, wild
West. And then they couldn't do it, and they just put it in Wild Wild West because he wanted a giant spider machine thing.
Yeah, I think it's some crazy. Yeah, there's something. Yeah, it's definitely from something from a Superman movie, I believe.
It's funny. I know Kevin Smith is involved too. I believe he's also connected to the project.
Yeah, somehow he's connected.
But yeah, anyway, so that's episode 7.
Yeah,
that's it. There it is. It's our gift to you.
It's a sure one. There's not much to edit in this one. Leave it all in.
Leave it in, baby. Leave it in. All right, so we're out of here. I'm King Cowabunga heading out.
And I'm Pizza Tossing Gub.
See you next time. Later.
Peace.